Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Welcome to the weekly wrap-up edition of the LeadX Show. I am Kevin Cruz. This is the episode where I get to go off the rails and talk about anything I want to. Today, we've got a lot of questions from our listeners related to productivity and more. But before I answer those, I am still stoked that we bust through 300 great ratings on iTunes. We could use more, though. This is the number one way we can build our family. And I want to personally thank these people because just in the last week, they left reviews up on iTunes. We got reviews from MJ Milwaukee, Anastasia Q, Great Life, John the QM, so many great reviews. Hey, MJ Milwaukee, I'm glad your spouse likes me and my minimalist ways. The review of the week is actually going to be from John the QM, who wrote, "I am a senior manager with over 30 years of experience, and I always listen to the podcast with notebook in hand. There seems to always be that valuable idea that becomes actionable in my life or in my teaching of new to mid-level managers." John the QM, thank you for that. And because I read your review out loud, shoot us an email at info@leadx.org because I want to send you a prize, maybe a LeadX mug or t-shirt. And all of you out there who have ever left a review, or you can go do it real fast right now, send us an email if you haven't already, because if you've left a review, we want to invite you into our private Facebook Mastermind group, our ambassador program. It's where we get to hang out, do inside track stuff. I send out free books every month or two, blah, blah, blah. Just do it. Go to iTunes, search on LeadX, and then just say you want to leave a rating. Click some stars. It's going to take you about 10 seconds, and it'll take you 10 seconds more if you want to leave a one-sentence review. So thank you for all of that, everybody. And things have been going great here. Just a few days ago on Friday, we debuted our new video training program, the very first in the curriculum, from individual contributor to first-time manager. We had hundreds of people tune in and watch it live, and then dozens, I don't know, 50, 60 people stayed for my open office hours. If you ever wanted to ask me questions about anything, this one, I got a lot of questions about management and leadership. Then you can sign up for one of these webinars and get my open office hours where, you know, you can ask me anything. We interact back and forth. A lot of questions last week on what to do with toxic employees. I didn't realize that was such a problem or so many people were struggling with that issue. So I'll probably film a training video on that in the near future. I've been designing our new mobile app, which we're making progress on. That should be out in a few months. And this is just sort of a bonus. I've been really enjoying this mobile app called 1 Second Every Day. And Dan Pink in his January email blast mentioned it. And I said to myself, is that the same app that I was using 5 years ago? Like, I think I was a Kickstarter supporter and it was so awful. It was so buggy that I took it off my phone. Well, it's 5 years later and now the app is really good and it's fun. It's basically, it gives you a reminder and you take a 1 second video every day of your life and then you can run them all together. So you can make, you know, a 30 second video for the month of January, or you can wait till the end of the year and, you know, get 365 seconds all together and have your entire life, your entire year captured in 1 second videos. And this is where I think that, you know, I rail against smartphones and apps because they're productivity killers. They interfere with mindfulness and I think genuine in-person relationships. That's the downside. This is the smartphone and apps at their best, where it's nudging you to be present, to be aware, like, okay, what will my 1 second shot be today? Will I wait until I'm out to dinner, you know, on date night? Or is it going to be when I'm at my kid's soccer game? Or, you know, I'm just working all day and I'm going to take a screenshot of my computer screen. You know, it just makes you pause and get into the moment. So I'm just having really a lot of fun with that. And up on my social, at the end of January, I'll post like my January, my 30 seconds or whatever it is, up on the social media channels. So let's do some Q&A. We've got, let's see, this first one comes from Trevor. Reading your book was an eye opener. I often heard of people shutting off their email, dealing with it only at certain times of the day, but I didn't believe it. I had the notion that if I didn't look right away, it may be something important and someone would be disappointed or upset if I didn't respond. So I'm going to try to master my email. Frankly, I'm a little apprehensive. I think that this is the most troublesome thing for me, and if I can get this figured out, I'll be in good shape to implement other strategies noted in your book. So thanks, Trevor. And yes, like the key point here, though, is just we want to process email when we want to process it. We don't want to be checking email every time it dings or buzzes or chimes. You know, we don't want to be Pavlov's dog dropping our deep work, our flow work, our conversations, and then staring at our phone. So Trevor, you know, if you're suffering from FOMO, fear of missing out or fear of disappointing others, but I guess that's like photo. I think I just made that up, photo. Then, you know, it's fine. Like you could set an alarm on your phone for every 30 minutes, like check your email every 30 minutes, which I think is ridiculous. I check it 3 times a day usually, but that will still put you in control of the email. And then when you are more comfortable, check it at the top of every hour, and then maybe every 90 minutes, and then every 2 hours. So you can kind of wean yourself into it. It's not so much like I get financial advisors. Oh, I'm so important and the stock market's open and clients, they need me to respond within 5 minutes. Okay, I find all that hard to believe, but set your email alarm for every 10 minutes or whatever it is. But be mindful, don't just be responding to every ding. Good luck, Trevor. Got another question, a productivity question. I don't have who this one's from, but it says, do you have any material on whether or not all tasks should be added to the calendar? Say, pay bills. Should that be added to the calendar? Short answer, yes. So this, again, comes from my research and my book, 15 Secrets Successful People Know About Time Management. And to my surprise, highly successful people, extremely productive people, they don't have a to-do list. They don't have a task list. If they want to do it, they put it on their calendar and then they just live from their calendar. They're not walking around with a to-do list and like, oh, I've got 15 minutes of free time. Let me look at my to-do list and pick something. They're looking at their calendar for the day and it's like, oh, if it's 11 o'clock, it's time to record a podcast. If it's 11:30, it's time to write some social media updates. You know, they're living from their daily calendar in usually 10 to 15 minute chunks of time. So, you know, people, I get this kind of question all the time. I did a 1 hour presentation to a big audience last year. And the first question after explaining how you even put, like, I did this last night, you know, Monday night, 7 p.m., take the garbage out to the curb so you will never, ever, ever forget to take the garbage out again. And the first question is like, but really, what do you really put on your calendar and what do you leave on your to-do list? I have no to-do list. So yes, I think you should put pay your bills, schedule, whatever, 30 minutes, 1 hour, every Sunday afternoon or every Sunday night at 7 p.m. or every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Like whenever is a good time for you and you make it a recurring appointment on your calendar. And the benefit in this case of paying bills and having it on your calendar is that you never forget to pay your bills. So the odds of you doing the task every time go way up. And it reduces stress. You don't have to be like, oh, I've got to remember to pay the bills this weekend. Oh my gosh, I'm late on my mortgage. I completely forgot. Or, oh shoot, you know, I'm stressed out because I got a late notice from my credit card. Your odds of doing the task go up and the stress related to it goes down because you don't have to think about it. Oh, Saturday morning, let's see, 8 a.m. Oh yeah, I got to pay bills for the next 30 minutes. So yes, put everything on your calendar, even date night. So here's one from Denise. Just a quick note to say that I love the LeadX podcast. I found it informative, helpful. I'm wondering if this information is applicable to government agencies. I oversee an economic development department for a municipality. Not everything's applicable. It seems like everything's a pressing issue when it comes from elected officials. Any guidance is deeply appreciated. You know, I actually was appointed to an economic development board for Bucks County, Pennsylvania back in 08 when everything was going to hell. And, you know, working with the local congressmen and senators and county commissioners, et cetera. And I think most of what we're talking about on the LeadX show is leadership. It certainly applies in government, certainly should apply in government, not saying it always does. And from a productivity standpoint, I think it still can apply. Denise, the problem though is if you have multiple bosses, multiple elected officials giving you, you know, pressing tasks, yes, that's a challenge. You know, you've got a priority challenge, not really a time challenge. And I think it's a communication issue. Now, in my own experience, like there were three county commissioners all elected, but there was one guy who was like the guy. Like he had been on longer than anybody else. He was the ranking Republican, and they are the party in power. The junior person kind of looked up to him. So, you know, everybody sort of knew that that guy's direction and opinion counted just a little bit more than everybody else's. But call them out on it and say, you know, yes, I absolutely can take care of that for you. And these other officials told me to do these other things. Can your thing wait? Or should I go back to them and ask them if your thing can trump their thing? Like I would just push it back. And then finally, one more question. This is a fun one. Someone, she is from the Philippines. She works on a cruise ship. And she says, I'm reading your book, 15 Secrets. I'm working on a cruise line as a bartender. Thank you for opening my mind. And please let me know if you'll be having a seminar in San Francisco. Our ship docks only for a day, but I'd be happy to attend. And then I sent an email back saying, I'm not doing public events right now, sorry. But for everybody out there, my next book comes out in, I'm not sure yet, September-ish of 2018. And I do plan on doing a tour for the book. And it's for the first time where I will go and do smaller events. I will do unpaid events, et cetera. I want to meet everybody. I want to promote the book, of course, but I plan to do that around September. So stay tuned. And then she wrote back and said, is there any book you can recommend where I can learn how to invest? I need help. I have no idea how to do it. Any recommendations? So again, I'm not a financial advisor. My approach through my entire life has always been to follow the words of the most successful investors out there, like Warren Buffett. And it's save, you know, 10% or more of your income, put it into a highly diversified mutual fund with very low fees, and forget about it and save for 10, 20, 30, 40, 60 years. The power of the stock market with compound interest. I mean, you're guaranteed to be a millionaire if you start when you're 20, right? And you live to retirement. And so you just want to pay yourself first. And that means every time you get a paycheck in, you know, direct deposit into your account, 10% goes from your checking account into a savings account. Before you even see it, before you even know it, before you can spend it, you won't miss it if you never really see it in that checking account. And then when your savings account gets to say $1,000, you sweep it into an online account like a Vanguard 500 index fund, highly diversified, low-cost mutual fund. You can literally look up, you know, Warren Buffett says index funds make the best retirement sense practically all the time. That's the name of an article, an interview he did on CNBC, and he recommends Vanguard's 500 index fund. So I am a long-term, you know, diversify and just bet on the growth of the world economy kind of guy. Now, having said that, there were times in my life where I thought I had some insights into a company and wanted to invest in them, or when I was young and dumb, I would pay money for stock tip newsletters and try to put money into this up-and-coming dental company or whatever. Right now, Bitcoin is all the rage. I don't care about Bitcoin. Here's the thing. If you're going to bet on individual stocks, and I should say, I still bet, like a couple of buddies have real estate deals. I own some office buildings and things. View that as speculative, as gambling, as your fun money, as the money that you can afford to lose. So in my mind, through my life, you know, for 30 years, I always thought about an investment kind of pyramid. The base of the pyramid is the safe stuff. That's the highly diversified mutual funds and bonds and things like that. At the top of the pyramid, like 10% of your savings can be your risky money. If you want to, if you're saving $1,000 a month right now, I would say 900 of it should go into that long-term mutual fund and then go buy Bitcoin with the $100 or go buy a stock tip you heard, you know, people at work talking about. Gamble with the 10%, because that's really what it is, and then do long-term safety with the 90%. Again, I'm a leadership guy, I'm a productivity guy, I'm not a money guy, but that's how I think about money. And it served me well. So that's it for this week's crazy rant, rambling episode. I don't think I've ever given financial advice out there before. Next week, final episode on our one-to-one meetings. I answer common questions and objections. I interview an entrepreneur who just sold his company for $120 million. I interview, boy, I love this interview, Kay Zanotti. She's the CEO of Argon and used to be the president of P&G Pharmaceuticals. We talk about management. We talk about metrics, rhythm of meetings. Our Throwback Thursday is with the great legendary Hiram Smith. And then I have a big, big announcement on Friday. So come back for next week's Friday show. Gonna have to mix things up on this podcast. So I'm gonna be explaining what's going on and what we're changing up in next Friday's episode. Remember, I need your help. We are gonna spark 100 million intentional leaders in 10 years. Your example will inspire others. There's a new free video course right on leadx.org. Check it out. If you think your managers, your colleagues at work would like it, send them the URL. Check out that $7 a month LeadX Academy where you get 100 executive book summaries. I've got over 30 training videos on productivity, leadership, how to build your personal brand. And of course, my reminder, I'm pleading with you. Remember that leadership is influence, which means you're leading at home, at work, your family, even strangers around you who are watching you. Leadership is influence. So you need to be mindful of your influence all of the time. The question is, how will you lead today?